الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الله به الغمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين فصلوات ربي وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي الخاطئة بتقوى الله العظيم، وأحذركم وإياي من مخالفته وعصيان أمره. يقول الله تعالى في محكم التنزيل بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. اعلموا أن خير الكلام كلام الله عز وجل، وأن خير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار، أجارني الله وإياكم منها. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah Azza wa Jal in His glorious book He says, يا أيها الناس أنتم الفقراء إلى الله والله هو الغني الحميد. O mankind, you are the ones who are in poverty, you are the ones who are in need to Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah Azza wa Jal is the richest, the one who does not need His creation, and He is the all-praiseworthy. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he commented on this verse, and he said that this verse is referring not only to the poverty and the need to Allah Azza wa Jal, only in financial matters, or it's limited down to an aspect of life where you are in need to Allah Azza wa Jal. He said it's the absolute poverty, the absolute need to Allah Azza wa Jal. It's the absolute faqr. He said that faqr al-mutlaq, the absolute poverty to Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the natural state to mankind. All human beings, no matter what their race is, no matter what their color is, no matter who they are, no one is excluded from this need to Allah Azza wa Jal. All humanity is in desperate need for Allah Azza wa Jal. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he also commented, there is a state of disorder in the heart which cannot be fixed or removed except by uniting your worries, making your greatest worries in life Allah Azza wa Jal and His commands and His prohibitions, making His teachings the great worry of your life, that which you live for and that which you die for. There is a state of disorder in the heart which could not be removed except by turning to Allah Azza wa Jal. And there is a state of bitterness that could not be removed from the heart except by turning to Allah Azza wa Jal. There is a state of poverty and need that will not be quenched except by turning to Allah Azza wa Jal. There is a state in the heart where the person is just not getting enough. No matter how much he gets, he just feels that constant state of needing more and more and more. And that could not be removed except by having Allah Azza wa Jal your goal. Having Allah Azza wa Jal to be your goal. So it's the natural thing, dear brothers, after hearing all this, it's the natural thing to find that humans are naturally inclined towards religion. Naturally inclined towards religion. And people go in search in different paths, in different ways, trying to find the answers to these questions that they raised and found in their minds, and they feel its bitterness in their hearts. They go in different paths. But what we can recognize for sure, my dear brothers and sisters, is that humanity naturally is inclined towards religion. Whether it's Islam or any other religion, it naturally inclines towards it. However, no one will find the correct answer. No one will find what he truly wants except by turning to the religion of Islam. Because it is the only religion in which it can satisfy all the human needs. It is the only religion that comes with answers to all those questions that humanity needs answers to. It is the only religion that comes with the solutions to the problems of humanity. So naturally you will find that a person will be inclined towards Islam if he is truthful with his search. Naturally. And the consequences and the results that Islam leaves within the individual and the society are so great. It transforms a person from being a coward into being a brave warrior. It transforms a person from being a stingy into a very generous person. It transforms those who were in prostration to their kings and tyrants, in prostration to all deities that are worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jal, to only make him prostrate to Allah Azza wa Jal and never yield to anyone else. It gives him that state of izzah, that state of honor, that state of power, in which a person lives by it between all people, like that tree that's standing in the middle of a desert. It makes him the man that stands when everyone falls. This is what Islam calls to. This is what it makes on the individuals. It makes on the individual a person who no chains could ever hold him back. No bars can ever hold him back. No sword, no weapon is powerful enough to stop him. It makes from him a hero. It makes from him a mujahid. And this is what Islam leads to an individual having. Look at the example of the magicians at the time of Pharaoh, where they were all united to support their tyrant, their Pharaoh. And they asked the question, will we be getting any reward if we are victorious? He said, yes. وَإِنَّكُمْ لَمِنَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. And if you do so and you win, you'll be the close ones to me. But when they saw the clear signs from Allah Azza wa Jal, when they saw the miracle that Allah Azza wa Jal performed on the hands of Musa alayhi salam, a stick which became a real snake, they all fell into prostration. They forgot who's in front of them, who's behind them, who's beside them. All they remembered is the one who is above them, Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then he told them, آمنتم له قبل أن آذن لكم إِنَّهُ لَكَبِيرُكُمُ الَّذِي عَلَّمَكُمُ السِّحْرِ. You have believed in him. Believe what he said. Before I give you permission, verily he is the great magician that taught you magic. And then he threatened to cut their arms and their legs. And then they say to him, La ghayr, there is no harm. All we want is the forgiveness of our world. And this is only one drop from a great ocean. One drop from a great ocean of what Islam creates from the individual, what it makes from the individual, what it causes. In our times today, to become someone who is religious, it has become something very abnormal by the media, by governments, even by cultures and traditions. They find that to be religious is just being too much. And we constantly hear these comments coming from different sides. Don't do it too much. Not too much. A little bit. Allah is the all-merciful. And this is a result of the great enemies of Islam realizing that when there are people who wake up and embrace Islam wholeheartedly, with all strength, that that's the day when they should start worrying. That's the day when they truly need to start worrying. Why? Because it will mean that someone will expose them. Someone will stand up. Someone will oppose. And no one was capable, or all those who thought they were capable did not survive. But the only enemy that remains that could not be defeated is Islam. It's the Muslims. So you find they concentrate their efforts as much as they can on fighting the tadayyun, being religious. And they'll make up different words that will scare people from being a practicing Muslim. When in reality, there's no such thing as being a practicing and a non-practicing Muslim. You cannot be a practicing / non-practicing Muslim. This is also from the introductions of the circular into our societies, into the Muslim world. Those who separate between life and religion. They made it appealing to people to be non-practicing. So you find it widely spread amongst the individuals to say to he that I am non-practicing. I'm a Muslim, but not practicing. But in reality, there is no such thing. There's no such thing. Because Islam is about submission. And submission means obedience. And obedience means to be practiced. Yes, people vary in their strength in Iman. In their strength in obeying. They vary. But we should not have it in our minds ever that there is such thing called practicing or non-practicing Muslims. We are all practicing Muslims. Yes, and Iman varies from one individual to the other. From the misconceptions they make against being a practicing Muslim is that being a practicing Muslim means that you will become a fundamentalist. And we find many of our brothers or those who have this love for our religion from our brothers wanting to defend Islam by saying, no, we are modern Muslims. We are modern Muslims. But little did these brothers realize that there is also no such thing as being a modern Muslim, because Islam is fixed and it cannot be changed with the change of time. And people throughout time who are commanded and ordered through that which could not be changed, which is the Quran and the Sunnah, to return always to the fundamentals of the religion. To return to the foundations of the religion. And to understand the religion according to the way of a Salaf al-Salih, who are the Sahaba and their students, and those who followed their path until our days. So there is no such thing again to say a modern Muslim. And this is another term in which they tried by it to replace the word circular Muslim. Circular means he separates between life and religion. But they realized that so many of us are going extreme, saying those kuffar Muslims, if they truly believe that, and want to insist on that after the proofs have been made clear to them. The kuffar, those who are kuffar, circular means not Muslim. Because religion is a way of life. It's not limited to a time or place. It is general to all your life. And it encompasses every aspect of your life. So when they realized that these extremists, Wahhabi Salafis, they're working too hard on saying there's no such thing as a circular Muslim. And a Muslim is a Muslim throughout life, wherever he is, no matter what he's doing, he's a Muslim. So they thought and thought and thought, and they came up with this new terminology called modern Muslim, or civilized Muslim, civilized, in which by it they made it more appealing that, look, we're not against the fundamentals, but in a civilized way. It's as if Islam came to make from people who are barbaric, who are uncivilized. Islam was a religion that introduced it to mankind in its true essence, in the right way. Islam has the best civilizations, the best of ways in all aspects. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He challenges mankind to produce anything like the Quran, even as little as one verse. And even the smallest verse tends to be in itself a way of thinking, correcting the minds, correcting the hearts. It's a way of life. It truly is civilization to the meanings of being someone who is advanced, someone who realizes, someone who understands. But when they use the meanings of civilized Muslim, they intend by that to water down the Islam and give it a bad meaning. They intend by that to make you accept the circular meaning of being a Muslim. And this is something that you have to realize, my dear brothers and sisters, is that we are all people who believe that Islam is a religion that is suitable for all times and all places. And therefore, whatever Allah commands is the best for mankind and the most civilized. The most civilized. And there's nothing in the Quran and the Sunnah that stands in the face of utilizing technology and science. There's nothing in it that opposes it. Rather, there is in it that which directs people on how to utilize technology and science. So again, there's no such thing as a civilized Muslim, where they mean by that there is separation, because Islam includes within it that which is to the advantage and the advancements of mankind. From the misconception that the enemies of Islam will make, and they will constantly repeat it, is that it will make from you someone who is, I'll say the word in Arabic, mutaparrif. Mutaparrif. Someone who is taken aside. He's isolated. And I tell you one thing, depending on what they intend by this, the meaning will be, yes, we want this to happen. If they mean by that, is that they adhere and submit to only one way, and they take that one way to be the only way in which they worship Allah by, and the only way in which they believe to be correct, then yes, by all means, we want to be of those who have taken that side. We want to be of those. And if it means that they are people who are standing against what is commonly accepted to be from the ways of life, from technology and science and so on, then no, we won't accept this meaning. From the things that we find, they also accuse and use as misconceptions against our brothers who want to be practicing and so on, is that you go into the extreme, and they use the word extremist. If they mean by that you are someone, or you follow the path that calls to the extreme obedience to the best of your ability, then we love these words. Yes, as Muslims, as people who adhere to the aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we also believe that a person can fall short. But our aim is to go extreme to the best of our ability in submitting to the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal, in being obedient servants to Allah Azza wa Jal. And if it was to be called by them as extremist Muslims, then by all means call me an extremist. I would love to be called then an extremist. If it's truly how you're picturing it, then I would love to be an extremist. Why? Because this is what Allah Azza wa Jal commanded me to do. We were commanded that we adhere as much as we can to the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Whatever I command you to do, then do as much as you can. Do as much as you can. And of course, we understand from the words of Rasulullah that not everyone is capable of doing everything. And there's people can fall short in the optionals and so on. But do as much as you can. Strive as much as you can. Because this is what Allah Azza wa Jalla wants to see from you. He loves us. أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. My dear brothers, there is a common misunderstanding widely spread amongst the Muslims. And that is, many of us did not understand what it means to be a practicing Muslim. What it means to be religious. And we find, unfortunately, that people take parts of the religion and leave many, many parts of the religion. And they mean by that being that I am not practicing here. For example, when people limited down religion to prayer, all you have to do is just pray. And therefore, once you pray your five, you go to paradise. Yes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by the companion who came from the desert. In brief, the story was that companion asked Rasulullah, I had a messenger of yours coming to my tribe and saying that you were sent as a messenger. I want to ask you a question, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Allahu arsalak. Did Allah send you? He said, yes. Rasulullah replied, yes. He said, and this messenger was telling us that you told us that we have to pray five times. He said, did Allah command you to do this, to say this? He said, yes. And then he went on to mention the five pillars. And then Rasulullah said to him, or that Bedouin said to him, oh Rasulullah, if I do that, will it enter me into paradise? He said, yes. And then he left. And Rasulullah said, if he is truthful, he will enter paradise. Some people understood that Islam is limited down to the five pillars. And many others have excluded all the five, from all the five, the four, the three, and left the shahada and the prayer. And this is the wrong understanding. Because the shahada itself, saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, it has the meaning that you submit to Allah Azza wa Jal. It has the meaning that you worship Allah Azza wa Jal by doing what He commanded and you leave what He prohibited. The meaning of Shahada is not simply that you just simply believe in your heart that Allah is one and that there's no deity worthy of being worshipped other than Him and that's it. You got to understand what is the meaning of worship. It's everything that Allah Azza wa Jal loves, from words or actions, hidden or manifest. And this is a common misunderstanding between our brothers. And unfortunately, I would like to say this, it's commonly also found between the older generations too, Allah, unfortunately. And they limited down religion to pray fives, pray your five, and look, if you want to go to the extreme, go your Jum'ah, and come back home, and that's all I want from you. But this is not the meaning of religion. This is not what Islam is limited down to. From the common misunderstandings found between our brothers, unfortunately, is that many people might take the outside look of being practicing and they leave the inside. So in other words, the brother, may Allah reward him, may Allah Azza wa Jalla increase him with iman, and submission, you find him, if you were to see him from far away, he looks like Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. He looks like Allahu Akbar. The beard and the thawb being cut and the siwaks in his mouth. And he's wearing the best of clothing and he'll go all the way to show the looks of being a practicing Muslim. But as soon as he opens his mouth, you say, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. And then some of the brothers might get angry and say, just go shave that beard off, brother, please. Just shave that beard off. Which I will comment about later on, inshallah, today. And people say, like, what kind of religion do you follow, brother? Like, all you understood from religion is grow the beard, cut the pants, and look like a Muslim, and that's it. What is the understanding of aqidah? Where is the akhlaq, the manners? Which is a vital part of religion. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا بُعِدْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. Verily, I have only been sent to perfect the morals. Where is that? And some of these brothers might have knowledge in aqidah and look like practicing brothers, but their manners is stinky. The stinkiest manners. The worst of manners. Wallahi, they are on their brothers like the Jews. أُقْسِمُ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. Like the Jews on their brothers. And this is a wrong thing. Islam is not limited down to aqidah and acts of worship. It includes manners. It includes character. Others, you find, alhamdulillah, they got acceptable manners. We ask Allah to make us of them. And they got, alhamdulillah, an understanding to aqidah. They worship Allah. They show the signs. But unfortunately, my dear brothers, this brain of theirs is very far away from thinking like a Muslim. They still live the days of ignorance the way they think. Yes, they've got aqidah and they can tell you this is haram and this is shirk and this is kufr and this is beautiful. And they got, mashallah, good manners. And they show good worship. But their tasawwur, their way of looking at things is wrong. And Islam did not come to correct the heart and the worship. It also came to show them how to weigh things, how to look at things. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He corrected many times the understanding of even the Sahaba where they went wrong. He said to them, أَجَعَلْتُمْ سِقَايَةَ الْحَاجِ وَعِمَارَةَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ كَمَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَجَاهَدَ فِي اللَّهِ. He said, did you make the building of the holy mosque, Mecca, and the giving of water to the pilgrims, did you make that equal to believing in Allah and fighting in His cause and believing in the last day? Of course, this verse was revealed to the mushrikeen of Quraysh. The mushrikeen of Quraysh were concerned with building the mosque, nourishing the pilgrims and helping them out. So Allah Azza wa Jalla addressed them and the companions. Al-idratu bi'umumil lafzi la bi'khususi sabab. That the lesson to be taken from the verse is not limited down to specific people. It is general to all people to benefit from it. And Allah corrected the way people look at things. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, he saw a companion walking past. So he asked his companions, what do you think of this man? And he was someone who was well groomed, looked very neat, and perfume. And they said, this man, if he was to ask, he should not be rejected. If he was to be asking for any girl to marry her, she should not be rejected. And if he was to intercede on behalf of anyone, of course, where there is allowance in that, then he should not be rejected. And then another companion walked past who did not look very rich, was wearing humble clothing. And he said, what do you think about this one? And the companion said, this man, most likely, if he would ask, he will be rejected. And if he was to intercede, he should not be accepted. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this poor man that he looked at is better than the earth filled with the other one. What do we learn from this? We're not saying that the poor people are all better than the rich. No, no, no. Don't understand it like that. Rasulullah was correcting the way they think. How to look at things. How to scale things. How to balance it out. And unfortunately, we've got many brothers, and I do not hesitate in saying this, it's a reality. who, alhamdulillah, they are students of knowledge in many areas. But when it comes to the way they think and about reality, they're still living in the ignorance days, the Jahiliyyah days. And this is not the practice of Islam called for. And I invite these brothers, and if I'm one of them, I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to guide me with these mistakes that's found within me, that we correct this. And this is where we need to have a good vision, which is derived from the correct understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah, which is taught by the trustworthy, righteous scholars of Islam. It's a very important one. From the other misunderstandings widespread between our brothers and sisters, is that they take religion to be in the heart. The sister, she doesn't have hijab on. Still Muslim. She's a sinful. Major sin, yes. Still Muslim. So on, she's doing her five prayers and she doesn't have the denial on it. Still Muslim. But if she's been advised, sister, taqillah azza wa jal, fear Allah, it's not right. It's in my heart. It's in my heart. Or the brother, you find him, may Allah guide him, he's involved in so much haram and this doesn't show the signs of all being a Muslim. Clean shaved, looking like Sweden, whatever. And then you talk to him, brother, wallahi, the sunnah of Rasulullah is better than the sunnah of the Kuffar and so on. He'll look at you and tell you, it's in the heart, please. Don't let you. It's in the heart, leave me alone. Again, this is a misunderstanding. Because the heart, what proves it to be right or wrong, is your actions. Is your words. And notice how Allah Azza wa Jal, He linked between actions and intentions when He said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. When He said, verily, actions are according to your intentions. Notice how He linked it. And it's very important that we don't take religion to mean only hidden stuff, which is found within, and we neglect the apparent stuff of Islam. That which is a sign of Islam from the outside. They need to both come in together. And they both complete one another. They both complete one another. And there's no such thing in religion, brothers, and I'll conclude with this, and do forgive me for taking a little bit longer. I do say to you that there's no such thing in religion, in Islam, as the pills and the heart. You're like an orange. You've got the peel, and then you've got the fruit. There's no such thing like that in Islam. And this is a bid'ah, an innovation, introduced by people who, yani, they earned. The least they can say that they made a mistake. The least. And you can go on to say others were innovators who intended to roll, introduce the religion, and others who were on the level of being enemies. But the point is, there's no such thing. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jalla never differentiated between the two. Yes, He did set priorities in what you should begin with, but He did not limit you down to only concentrating on priorities. He also commanded you to do that which is after a while. So it can come as a protection for it. Protection. Just like you cannot have a fruit that is without a peel to it. Because obviously the fruit won't survive. It won't survive. And on the other hand, you can't have a fruit with only a peel, but nothing inside. You need the two to come out with a benefit. And every one of them serves the other in one way or another. And likewise is the Muslims. He concentrates on the inner and the outside. And they both come in hand to give that beautiful fruit called a Muslim. He submits to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allahumma ja'alna mimma yastami'una al-qawla fa yattabi'una ahsana. Allahumma ati anfusana taqwaha wa zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha. Anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. اللهم اعز الاسلام والمسلمين واذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر اعداءك اعداء الدين واهلك الزنادقه من الكافرين والمشركين والملحدين اللهم فرج عن اسرى المسلمين في كل مكان اللهم انصر المجاهدين في كل مكان اللهم عليك بالطواغيت اللهم ارنا فيهم يوما اسودا اللهم اشف صدور قوم مسلمين اللهم اشف صدور قوم مسلمين اللهم اشف صدور قوم مسلمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ونبيك محمد كما صليت وباركت على عبدك ونبيك إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.